until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
21 minutes to 10. According to Tracy Spicer on Twitter, she says, seems to have resolved the matter, quoting Philip Ruddock there. And she says, Ruddock obviously has a different definition of resolved to the dictionary. I think that's what a few people would be thinking this morning. With me on the line now is Tim Andrews. He's the Executive Director of the Australian Taxpayers Alliance. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
My pleasure. And just before we get into the political commentary, just tell us a bit about your organisation and, I guess, what you stand for.
Sure. The Australian Taxpayers Alliance is a grassroots advocacy organisation standing up taxpayers opposed to the special interest groups who want to take our money. You can find out more about us at taxpayers.org.au, but we've got 30,000 members nationally. We're non-partisan. We take no money from governments. And we just advocate for what's good for taxpayers and the Australian people.
So we've had today's result come in. Is the Prime Minister staying on? Is that a good result for taxpayers?
I think we need to see what's going to happen by the end of the week. Today's result is by no means decisive. But what I think today shows is that if there is a lot of movement for change, and we think if the Prime Minister has any chance of survival, he needs to cut off Joe Hockey, who's been a complete liability to him and has been responsible for the mess that the federal government has gotten themselves into.
Yes, well, I know you've come out quite strongly against Joe Hockey, who is still the Treasurer after today. I mean, what's been wrong with Joe Hockey in your eyes?
Joe Hockey has failed on all fronts. He has failed to fix the budget, and he has failed to communicate and sell the budget. This is quite outstanding because it's very rare to have such abject failure by such a senior political leader. The federal budget, despite his rhetoric, still increased spending. So spending is going up pretty much at the same trajectory that Wayne Swan had projected, even if the Senate would pass everything that Joe Hockey wanted. So he's failed at repairing the budget. And he's, yet despite his rhetoric, it's what actually has made it so unpopular. So it's a communication failure as well. Added to that are the new taxes that he's implemented. I mean, Tony Abbott said in his press club conference last week, he wants to be remembered as a low-tax government. Yet he's there increasing revenue by $100 billion over forward estimates from 23% to 25% of GDP. They've increased a whole host of taxes, which are really putting the squeeze on Aussie families. So it's just all-round failure from Joe Hockey and the Treasury, and that's what needs to be changed.
I mean, you said that the budget trajectory of spending is going up, but a lot of the commentary from those on the left side of politics seems to be about cuts. So, I mean, where is the disagreement there, do you think?
The government has made some cuts, but they've been offset by other spending initiatives. So it's a question of how the money is being redistributed. And to be frank, a lot of the cuts made have been downright stupid. They've gone and been politically stupid. They've gone after vulnerable people in the community rather than tackle a lot of bigger issues such as middle-class welfare, corporate welfare, handouts, cash splabs. And then they've announced all of these other new spending policies that have just offset any of the cuts that they've made. So spending over the next 3 years is going to go up by $50 billion approximately, or slightly less than that. But it's still going up. Revenue's going up, both in raw numbers and as a percentage of GDP. The rhetoric has been a small government, but that isn't the reality of it.
Just in some other news, apparently Tony Abbott has just left the party room and he's going to be making a statement shortly. But you talk about the salesmanship there. Is the fact that they've got really a poor thing to sell a problem, or are you saying that there's been other problems with the execution of selling what they have?
As I said, I think both things are to blame. I think that what they've gone out and done has been a poor product, and they've compounded that by doing a poor job selling it. And thirdly, some of the things they've tried to do to make it more popular has ended up making it less popular and is just tactically and strategically bad. And this has also been coming from the Prime Minister's office. So some of the things such as, we're cutting welfare on poorer people, so we might as well increase taxes on the high income earners to the highest top income tax rate in our region, was designed as a political decision to share the burden. But in reality, all it did was make people think, oh, hang on, Tony Abbott promised he won't increase taxes. He's broken this promise. So a political decision, not an economic one. I mean, no one thinks the debt levy will raise any extra revenue. So that was a political decision to get support, which has ended up costing support. And it wasn't a good policy anyway. So it's a combination of these failures from the budget primarily and the way of selling them that we think is the issue.
And again, a lot of the rhetoric from the left side of politics seems to be that there's nothing to fix about the budget. Is that what you would agree with?
Oh, certainly not. I mean, if you just read the intergenerational reports and all of the projections, we clearly need to get spending under control. Australia might not be in as bad a position as countries in Europe, for instance, but that doesn't mean that we can rest on our laurels. And we are on a spending trajectory where health, welfare, the aging population is going to be putting more and more strain on our budget. So we need to tackle fundamental reforms now so that future generations don't have to foot the bill. Yes, we're in a slightly better position than a lot of other countries. We're really lucky about that. But that certainly shouldn't mean that we don't need to start looking at making serious reforms now, because you can't just keep spending more and more money that you don't have in the long term. It's a question of how you make the reforms, and Joe Hockey hasn't made them. The cuts he's made have been poorly targeted, hurt the wrong people, been unpopular, and it hasn't sold the message.
Your organisation talks a bit about small government. I mean, do you measure government as a percentage of GDP? And I guess if so, by how much do we need to reduce the size of government to be ideal in your eyes?
Look, at the moment, government revenue, federal government revenue only, is going up under the federal government from 23 to 25% of GDP. Federal expenditure is higher than that. So if you look at total, so all the governments in Australia, we're in the mid-30s. We argue that there's a lot of research that's been done internationally that the ideal size for economic efficiency is a combined all layers of government of under 30%. So we would argue that we need a plan to reduce total government to about 30% of the economy in the short to medium term.
Okay, so
that's sustainable.
So just to be clear, what percentage is it now?
We're now in the mid-30s.
Mid-30s. So it's got to come down by about 5% or that sort of thing.
Total government in Australia, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, going forward, you've talked about reforms that you say need to be made. What are some of those reforms? What changes would you make to get the size of government down to below 30?
Sure. There are a number of changes that we would make, both in the setting up for the long term and for the short term. So in the short term, we would sharply reduce various welfare schemes that simply give middle-class welfare to people who earn a lot of money and don't need it. So reforming family tax benefit, those sort of things for high-income earners, which is welfare that's not needed, not deserved. We would support reducing a lot of corporate welfare, and just handouts to companies who, again, don't need it. In the medium term, we would looking at performing things such as health, welfare, making super more viable as opposed to the age pension, because if you look at the costs that are projected to blow out over 20, 30 years, you certainly need to have more reforms in that field. And more importantly, we won't spend new money on new schemes. So paid parental leave, which we can't afford, should never have been a starter in the first place. The medical research fund, which we can't afford, is $20 billion of spending on something that Australia simply isn't in a position to act upon. So it's all of these new spending schemes that are being announced, which should be the first to go. Because you can't get the budget under control if you keep announcing new spending schemes. And I mean, even in the press club last week, Tony Abbott vaguely hinted at giving more subsidies to parents and more taxpayer funding in that field, even though there's been a lot of good research on how that money simply isn't effective.
But is it going to be popular cutting back middle-class welfare? And, you know, how would you go about selling that?
Well, I mean, you've already got a government that's been saying we're cutting spending, we're cutting spending, we're cutting spending. So they've copped the flak for doing it. It would be nice if they actually cut some spending as well as lost the points for the rhetoric. I mean, they've got all the political pain for none of the economic gain. But having said that, if you want to cut spending, sell it in a way that is actually makes sense to the Australian people. Rather than make somebody on who receives an unemployment allowance, Newstart, rather than making them have to fill out 50 application forms, reduce the subsidies to someone earning $200,000 so they don't necessarily get a subsidy. I mean, that's where the cuts should be made. Rather than targeting the unemployed on Newstart, target the people on $200,000 a year receiving family tax benefits. I mean, that's a much better proposition, and that's much more sellable to the Australian public, and you get a much better economic result out of it. So you can make cuts in a smart manner, which will be sellable, and that's what the government has failed to do, and that's what I think was Joe Hockey's primary job, and that's what he failed in.
So in your books, if you do that with the welfare and the subsidies, is that enough to balance the books and, I guess, get the spending below 30%?
You'll certainly be able to, in the short term, get the budget back in a surplus. You then won't have the issue with the income payments, interest rate payments. If you want to go into the medium term as to more structural reforms, there are a lot of other things which I think should be done. But that gets into sort of complicated issues. But there's actually a very good paper on how to do this by the Centre for Independent Studies called Target 30, which lists out the medium term policies that will get it under 30%. I think all of them are politically realistic. It's not things that are considered radical. It doesn't say, for instance, privatise the ABC, but what it says is reform the system with ABC 3 and ABC 4. So it's looking at those sort of things that are still within the political mainstream that will be able to get it to 30% of GDP. So the Target 30 program by the Centre for Independent Studies, I think, lays out an approach that I would broadly endorse.
And again, from the left of politics, because I keep bringing this up, but there seems to be a lot of commentary saying that we don't have a spending problem, we have a revenue problem. I mean, is that something that you would say? I mean, from what I'm hearing from them, it sounds like they want to increase revenue and just have the size of government the same.
Revenue is going up by $100 billion over forward estimates. So it's clearly not a revenue problem. It's an overspending problem. I mean, if you look at all, revenue is going up from 23 to 25% of GDP at a Commonwealth level. Revenue on every indicator is going up and up and up. And it's going up faster than in most other countries. The issue clearly isn't the fact that revenue isn't going up enough. It's the fact that spending is going up even faster. And to put it simply, you can't just put the squeeze on taxpayers more and more. We already, for instance, have one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. I mean, European countries, which are considered socialists, you know, by many commentators on the right, I mean, their corporate taxes are 10% less than ours. No wonder we're losing money, because all of these companies are leaving Australia, when every single country in Asia, except for Japan, has a company tax less than ours. Every single country in Asia, except for Japan, has a company tax less than ours. So if you increase this tax, what's going to happen? More jobs are going to go offshore. More companies are going to go offshore. It's not going to raise any more money. You can't just keep getting blood out of a stone.
And I mean, how do we compare in terms of the size of government as a percentage of GDP to other countries?
Australia as a percentage of GDP is not as bad as most. I mean, we're ranked in the top 10 economically free countries in the world. That's a pretty good achievement. But the fact that we're better than other countries doesn't mean that we don't have more to do or that we won't face these problems. We're lucky that if you read the intergenerational reports, which is some of the most scary documents, I think, known to mankind, because they essentially say by 2050, we have three choices. We become like Greece and go bankrupt. We slash spending everywhere, or we raise taxes to the level of, you know, triple the GST. unless you act now. So we have maybe 20 years left before we hit crunch time. Other countries have 10 years left. So we're in a good situation in that regard. We're not at the fiscal cliff yet, but we're still approaching it. And the sooner we act, the less pain we will have to endure.
So if we get rid of Joe Hockey, is there a treasurer or a person on that side of politics that you think shares your view and is likely to implement?
I think that a lot of the other people haven't been in the portfolio yet. I can't judge them necessarily on their actions. A lot of people are saying Scott Morrison will be good. I think that he's shown that he's a capable administrator and he's a capable manager. So there might be, he might be able to do it. And he's definitely got a good salesmanship streak to him. So he might be able to do a better job. So he's the name that's been floated around, I think, in the media this morning. I think that Scott Morrison is someone who might be good at giving it a go. But we would certainly have to see. I think what's clear, though, is pretty much anyone would be better than somebody who has the... I think Joe Hockey has, like, the anti-Midas touch. If you remember, when he was tourism minister, when he was finance minister under Howard, he kept on being demoted because he just kept making so many mistakes. He wasn't good at salesmanship at workplace relations, and he's failed at Treasury. I mean, he's clearly proven that he doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to tackle the real issues.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's been a very interesting conversation and good to hear from someone who is proudly independent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Tim Andrews there from the Australian Taxpayers Association.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.